Rangers tripped up Tuesday in a loss to the Jets, but now they ship up to Boston for a crucial matchup with the East leading Bruins. My old teammate Mike Rupp fills in for Brooksy this week on the pod. Rupper, Molly, and I break down the Rangers play without Ryan Lindgren and Jacob Trouba, tight standings in the Eastern Conference, and the return of Rempe, plus my semi-boiling point. It's all coming up on a new episode of Up in the Blue Seats podcast from the New York Post. Next.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask that you direct your attention to center ice for a special presentation.
Welcome back to Up in the Blue Seats, our Rangers podcast from the New York Post. I'm Brian Boyle, joined with Molly Walker. No Larry Brooks today. He is on vacation. No, he's not. He's in Boston. But we have a special guest joining us. His replacement, former teammate of mine, my big brother, I like to call him, at NHL Network. This guy has helped me so much. We got Mike Rupp in the house. He's not in my house. He's at his house, it looks like. What's up, Rupper?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Glad to be on here with you.
Thanks for joining us. And Molly, Team USA, who's that behind you? What jersey is that?
It's just a blank jersey. I just feel like left out. I you guys all have such great backgrounds and I don't. And when I moved into my apartment, I kept saying, I'm going to have like a sick setup. I'm going to do something great with it. But obviously I focused on my black, white and gold and my pretty aesthetic over here rather than the hockey jerseys and stuff. But it's okay. I think I
looks try good.
It and I'll switch it out. I'll do a UMass one day. You know, we'll have
you
fun.
Don't, I mean, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, we do have to do that. That's okay.
Hey, Brian, why don't you send her a BC jersey and she'll put that up? Mm. How's that work? Does that work or no?
No, it doesn't.
No?
Okay. I might have why to not? Go straight into the trash.
Chestnut Hill University.
No, sorry. We rep UMass over here on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
My dad went to UMass. He was a goalie there.
Wait, I didn't know that.
Artie Boyle, yeah.
Why have you been hiding this from me? We've gone back and forth about UMass BC and you're just telling me now?
Yeah.
Okay, I see how it is.
Didn't play a long time there. He started a family in his sophomore campaign and continued on for 23 more years, building his family, making it bigger. So yeah, he was a goalie though. Couldn't skate very well, I guess, but pretty good.
That's pretty cool. Whenever I try to talk to Jonathan Quick about UMass, it just doesn't work. It was such a blip on the radar for him. They have a shrine to him in the hallway.
Well, I mean, yeah, look at him. He's going to have the most wins of any U.S. goaltender, which is great. We want to get into the Jets game first. I thought that was an interesting game for a number of reasons. I actually got to do between the benches. And that was new. That was fast, man. It's fast. Artemi Panarin never looks at a hockey puck, and he has no tape on his stick. I couldn't believe what I was watching with him. I just hadn't been that close to a game since my last game.
Hey, and, B, I was asking. I was pumped when I heard you were doing that. And, you know, I mentioned to you guys before, I was doing the Pens Devils game at the Prudential Center. So I was like, oh, man, I'm not going to be able to see Brian between the benches. So, but I did some asking around. Everyone said, great job. You did awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't expect anything different from you. The only complaint I heard, I did hear one complaint.
Uh-oh.
You ready for it? Some constructive criticism.
Yes.
I did hear that Lavi couldn't see the far corner. So I might have to get you a stool to sit down a little bit because you're obstructing some pretty important view for coaches. Cause that you had to have been the tallest in between the bench guy in NHL history, right, Molly? Like I've never, who's closer? I mean, you've got you, Panger barely looks over the dasher. So you at least look over Panger, but like you're blocking probably so many important views.
Do you know what's crazy? So it doesn't go that far back. It's not nearly as deep as a bench.
So you can't like duck back, right?
No. And then there's the stanchions right there that are padded. So I had to keep kind of ducking as the play would cross around in the zone. And then eventually I just like leaned over. But I also was like, I was conscious of the fact that players and coaches, I might be in their way. I literally was thinking that the whole game. I'm like, I'm in these guys' way and I don't want to be in the way. Not that like they'll just move their head a little bit. I was like, I am causing problems for them. And then I was not able to see some of the plays. And then like Joe or Sam would throw it to me and I'm like, yeah, looks great. You know, and figuring out that mic was wild. They took me to the bench before the game and I'm looking at the buttons and it wasn't too complicated, but you guys know me by now. Everything's complicated. with technology. And then so the anthem's going on and I'm like, oh no, I didn't know how many times I'd be on camera.
Oh my God, like, Brian, how do you get down there and you don't even know?
I didn't know. And I was like, I didn't think it was going to be often because I've watched a game before.
Yeah.
But I was like, if they're talking to me at a coming out of a commercial break or whatever, I don't know where to look. Where's the camera? So I'm like hitting the thing, trying to talk to Chris Ebert, who was in my ear all night. Great. Oh, he was a savior to me. I'm like, dude, where do I look?
I would have messed with you so badly.
Yeah, that sounds like a prime opportunity.
Hey, Brian, if you ever need the camera, it's directly above you. Just so you look up.
Turn around. It's on the other side, actually, up above the stands.
Did you have any inclination to jump over the boards and get on the ice?
No, I was getting excited about. You know what? It's good because the earphones they have in there they really drown out all the noise.
Oh, that's good.
So when Wennberg scored, I was like, yeah, I was excited. but I like didn't really react because the crowd noise didn't really hit me, which is good and bad. I kind of wanted to be in there to hear the crowd go nuts, but you can't really hear them. And then you kind of have to listen to Sam and Joe if they come to me for like the third replay, what I saw happen. So, I mean, it's really cool. The game flies by.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. What about the chirps? You hear the chirps in between there?
I was trying. I was doing this a few times. And then I had to hold down mute because I don't know, Lowry was mad and Scheifele was mad. And someone finished a hit somewhere and it was later in the game. I don't know. I was just kind of like, I kind of want to hear it, but I have to put it on mute. But I was still kind of.
Yeah, just trying to take a listen. The best was Artemi the other day on St. Patrick's Day going over and stealing the green drink. That was fantastic. That's just pure. It's just great TV.
Life is good. Life is good when you can just be that chill that you're going to go and just have a sip of the drink and
middle of a game. You know, he wished it was beer too.
We had Panger on yesterday, NHL Network, and he said, and you guys probably heard this already, but I thought it was funny where I guess Artemi said to him, next time a little stronger. I need something a little stronger.
I knew. So, I could have told you that. Yeah. I didn't even see the clip. I could have told you that he said something like that.
Yeah. So it was pretty funny.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Rupper, you were over at The Rock that night?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Penguins, The Rock. Devils.
Yeah, both teams on life support. And it was, man, it was – the game was fine. And then this span of like, I don't know what it was, less than a minute, all of a sudden the game's totally out of reach and the Devils took control. And, you know, it kind of sums up the season for the Penguins. But I thought this Penguins team was done after I was on that Western Canadian road trip. All that, I thought they were dead to rights then. But we know, and I know I'm sure you guys have talked about it a ton. Everybody's leaving the door open in that wild card race, right? So I couldn't believe that they're still sitting there. I think there was a stretch I saw where let's just use it for an example. Like the Penguins were 2-7-1, all right, through 10 games.
Yeah.
And the gap to the wild card was lessened for them. You know what I'm saying? Like 2-7-1
yeah.
and whatever the point totals were, they were closer from a stretch like that. So right. It was, I'd have to assume, you know, not mathematically out, but that pretty much stops them now with that loss to the Devs. I think the Devs are pretty much done too.
Yeah.
Especially with the, you know, some of the other teams getting some points last few nights, the big comeback win on that same night by Detroit, I think really helped them out.
It just feels like it's so wide open this season. It feels like, I feel like there's going to be a ton of movement in terms of the standings in the final stretch of the season. I mean, the Rangers are only 2 points ahead of the Hurricanes now in the Metro, right? I just feel like there's so much potential for so much movement to happen over this.
I mean, I think the Rangers are really interesting because you have, like, you look for them. They could be the number one in the conference, right? Yeah. Or you can win the division, or, you know, you could be passed by Carolina, which I listen, this is all for us to talk about, you know, be as a player, like you're not really like no team's ever sitting there be like, well, if we lose the division, yeah. we'll have a better
Islanders
match.
The Islanders did that once.
You know for fact that they were like, you know what, let's just
they lost the game back to a little play bit. Florida, I believe 5 or 6 years ago. I'm going to need someone to, I don't know That's what Jake's doing job. Back there, but no, they did it. They wanted that matchup.
They did it. They definitely did. No, but
if there's a place to tell it on, it's this podcast.
Incriminating. Yeah. It is. It is.
But I mean, you know, I know that's well out there. I mean, I would not want to play Tampa round one. And if you win this division of the Metro and don't win the conference, it's probably your matchup.
Right.
So I think for the Rangers, in the perfect world is us fans are watching, you're like, hey, let's either, you know, guns blazing down the stretch here, win this whole, you know, gosh darn thing, as far as in the regular season, win the President's Trophy, you know, whatever, get that number one spot, or let's just play a good brand of hockey and we'll play the Flyers in round one. I don't want the in-between.
But Tampa would, as much as it would be such a tough series, it would be a great series for the Rangers to win in terms of having to set themselves up for the rest of the playoff run. That would be a big win under their belt. It would have meaning to it after losing to them two seasons ago, after going up 2-0 on them. I just think that it's the matchup they don't want. But in terms of the storyline of it all, it would be, and you know, I would love to go to Tampa for a few days, but
yeah, the truth comes out.
That's what I'm rooting for. It would be a great storyline for them.
But it is. I mean, there's enough time left where they could go. They don't do 1-8 in the conference anymore, but they could finish 1-4. Like Carolina could hop them. They go into Boston, tighten that gap up, and who knows what happens with Boston, right? I mean, Florida. You got to play good hockey. I think that was sort of what Laviolette was alluding to in the presser. You want to consistently play good hockey, give your best effort that way. Cause I think that way, when you have mistakes made or your guys are falling short, lines or whatever it is, you want to tinker with some things. If everybody's playing up to the highest level they can, you're getting the best, all the information. You're getting the most of the information. It was like in the Winnipeg game, he hasn't really broken up the Trocheck line at all. He did, because what happens in a playoff series if somebody focuses on them and shuts them down, right? That's what I was thinking. I didn't get to say that on air, but you know, it was a fast paced third and there were different moving parts and you know, all the lines were changing except the fourth line. But that's what Laviolette's doing now. Who might have some chemistry? Where can we put some guys to have some reps? You know, in a situation where we're down, if we're desperate, you know, he's looking ahead at that point. The players just play, right? So that's why you got to play. You can't let any of that sort of thing convolute or get you confused as to what is the whole process here. And I think he was spot on with his comments about we're trying to play well and win every game. And you know, they go into Boston, if they win a game, they beat them in regulation. It's like a 1-point thing here, and they're chasing Boston in, you know, Florida. So, and they could keep Carolina out of their sights, who is absolutely on fire right now.
What my question though, because we talked about this yesterday, any concern with over the last stretch of beating the teams you should, but not really beating the playoff teams for the Rangers? I'm not concerned about that, but I know that people
That's a storyline for sure. And I don't know. I look at, and probably like you, Repper, I'm looking at how they played. They generated chances against the best defensive team in the league statistically, right? Like they best goals against, best save percentage is the Winnipeg Jets. And they were generating chances. Now, the only problem was Connor Hellebuck's an octopus and you can't score on him.
I just feel like it was a little bit difficult for the Rangers. It was their sixth game in 9 days. And yes, I know the schedule is, you know, the schedule and whatnot.
No, that's real. That is so hard to do.
But that's real. And if you look at who they had just played, the emotional toll that comes with playing the Islanders, comes with playing the Devils. And then you got this little Jets game, you know, wedged in there. And they have also got Boston and Florida staring at them in the face at the end of the week. I just think that was a bit of a dud game for the way Kakko said it was, that it was boring. It was quiet. Yeah. You know, felt like nothing happened. Felt like nothing was going on. I totally agree with him. I said, I know I was watching up there. It didn't feel, they didn't have any spark. It's difficult to get up for every game. And that one, I feel like just kind of got caught in translation. And that's kind of what happened there. And it wasn't that bad of a game for them, but no disrespect to Winnipeg at all, but I went on a Winnipeg radio station before the game. And the first question that they asked me was, is this as big of a game in New York as it is over here in Winnipeg? And I'm thinking in my head, no,
not at all.
It's not actually. But obviously don't want to be disrespectful.
Brian Boyle between the benches. This is not a big game.
But I was like, yeah, I guess so. You know, every time it's a top team in another conference or in a it's just another top team in the league. It's considered a big game, but it's not. The hype on the New York side was clearly not as much as it was on Winnipeg's side. That was a big game for Winnipeg, and for the Rangers, it was the sixth game in 9 days, and the game kind of went accordingly. You know,
they started well.
It was the second period. They had a bad second period.
Slow.
That's where they
lost. You know, you're missing Lindgren. You're missing Trouba. That's two top four D men. That's not nothing, right? And Winnipeg's another team that hadn't beaten a ton of playoff teams either, so they were up for the challenge. I think the Rangers were too. That's a ton of hockey there,
grind. Right? Yeah, you know, I don't pay attention to that. I don't think as players should do either about, you know, whatever, as far as I put it this way, I would much, much rather my team beat the teams you should and then lose to the teams that are good. They're playoff teams rather than the other way around. And maybe some people don't feel that way, like, oh, well, we've beaten the top teams. We beat Colorado this week. We beat, you know, the New York Rangers this week. We beat those guys. But, those games against Arizona and Anaheim, those were tough ones. No, I'd rather it the other way. Like, that's more of a professional approach. You know what you're going to get. Like, you should win outright the games that you should win. And listen, the good teams are good too. They get paid well. They're built a certain way. I'm not concerned. Maybe this next little stretch will tell some. Because the Rangers got, like you mentioned, Molly, they got a tough schedule coming up. So we'll see. But they're going to win some of these games, and we can kind of erase that narrative, I think, that's kind of following them right now.
And they're in Boston tonight. Bruins, I don't understand the Bruins. Jim Montgomery.
It's the OT losses amazing. For me. The abundance of OT losses, which team does not belong, shows Boston.
But 41 wins.
You and I have talked about this, and I like this. I don't know. Hindsight's 20/20, but you know, you were still playing at this time. But I was hooting and hollering in my circle of people back in 2017, between 2017 and 2018 playoffs. So Pittsburgh just wins back to back, cups. And I'm like, you need to trade Matt Murray. like now is the time. His equity is, it's never going to get higher. You can revamp this team that you know, and we talk about the Penguins now when they're an older team, they're struggling and they haven't really had high picks and all those different things over the years, blah, blah, blah. You can change the face of your team because you have a two-time Stanley Cup champion goaltender who looks to be like the man moving forward. And you also have Marc-Andre Fleury sitting there who could still play for another 5 years as we sit here in 2024. So like trade him. Anyways, park that. Boston Bruins, what happens last year? I mean, Linus Ullmark wins the Vezina. Why did you not trade him and try other things on your roster? Like, it's never going to get higher. And Jeremy Swayman is the starter. He's your guy you've invested in. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I still sit here and think Boston's going to hit some spot in this postseason where they're going to sit there and they're going to be like, man, I wish we would have had the ability to do something else. And you did. You have your strongest equities, your goaltending, and only one can play every night. The other guy is sitting on the bench. Like, I just, that to me is going to come back and bite Boston at some point. At some point, it's going to rear its head that they don't have the center ice depth or they don't have X, Y, or Z. And it's because you stayed with your two goaltenders. They should have traded Ullmark.
All right. So, but you say trade the older one, and the other situation you trade Murray. Is that because it's Marc-Andre Fleury?
Rupp, but the hugs.
No, the hugs.
The hugs.
Stop.
What about the hugs? You can't break up the hugs.
A lot of hugging when you win a Stanley Cup, too. You know? So, I just think that I think the Ullmark situation is like the way that whole thing happened with getting him from Buffalo, and they signed him to that deal, and you know, it's he's kind of like found money in some ways for me. And, you know, he won the Vezina, and there's a lot of dumb teams out there that will sit there and not, I don't want to say dumb because,
but you did
desperate. And you know who the desperate team would have been? The desperate team would have been the team across the river, the state that I'm sitting in right now in New Jersey.
I can't even get into that.
You're telling me the Boston Bruins couldn't go to the New Jersey Devils and be like, hey, we got Linus Ullmark.
I don't know what the Devils were doing and not doing it themselves.
It's going to cost you. Yeah, I mean, Boston could have been like, it's going to cost you Alexander Holtz. It's going to cost you a first-round pick. It's going to offer. They would have done it.
They should have done it. But bringing it back to the Rangers going to Boston today, second game without Ryan Lindgren, that's a bit of news. He's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks. Huge loss, obviously. Big part of what Adam Fox does on a nightly basis. But I guess for you guys, when you do lose not only just one, but two of your biggest players, toughest players who are surely going to be in your playoff lineup during a time when you're supposed to be developing chemistry, supposed to be, you know, getting into playoff shape, does that hinder the team at all? Is that an obstacle to overcome to insert those guys? Or does it feel like almost getting, you know, a trade deadline acquisition right before the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that I think the bigger thing is just the connection. You want the pairs to be playing good for the D, right? Like, you want to have some good feelings kind of rolling in the playoffs, and there's still, you know, time for that. It's more of like, you know, your best defenseman, his partner's out. And how does that affect your best defenseman? And he's played before without Lindgren. Like, I think he'll be fine, but I think that's more of it. But I also really like, I don't know, on the flip side, I like prior to playoffs, maybe a little further back, not as close to playoffs, but I like having guys that are more depth guys getting more of a role before the playoffs, because then all of a sudden they're feeling confident about their game, right? And they realize that they can be an option if need be. And Braden Schneider's one to me that I love. I've loved his game since day one. You know, I think at certain times this year, earlier on, I maybe wasn't playing as good as he can, but.
Which was the first time in his career that he kind of hit some speed bumps, which is pretty impressive for how long he's already been in the league.
I've loved him from the get-go. Like, what he is tough as nails. He's got, you know, you see him stepping up and hitting. He's got skill. I think that this is a real he's going to evolve into a bigger role with this franchise, and he's going to be fun to watch. But anyways, but seeing him kind of, yeah, to your point, Molly, like, start sticking his chest out a little bit, feeling good before the playoffs, because you never know when you're going to need to lean on him and injuries happen. So, you know, I'm not overly concerned, though. This is a veteran team on the back end that they'll deal with these guys being out, and I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, Rudy's a good pickup. I said it when it happened. It's an underrated pickup. Obviously, it's not a huge news thing. But here's the other thing. Like, that top four has played together a ton. When he, you know, the only cause for concern would be, like, you see Pulak and Pelech in on the island. They came back from injury, and I don't know if their role was a little bit different because what Romanov and Dobson were doing, they did struggle a little bit this year, which was odd, but maybe it was kind of a byproduct of what was going on in front of them. I think when the top four comes back and is all healthy on D, I don't think you have anything to worry about because of the amount of reps those two pairs have had together. And as long as they can come back and they're healthy, who knows what's really going on with the Rangers, because they give nothing.
And Rupp, you mentioned depth. I mean, Zach Jones has been great. He has had some very strong games, and the role that he's played all season long is obviously not a tough one. I think he went a month between his last start and then this little stretch that he's on now, and that's always super difficult to do. And we talked about this last week a little bit, I think, but the fact that Laviolette showed him loyalty and stuck with him over Ruedel, despite, you know, the fact that the Rangers obviously wanted to get a look at Ruedel at one point, but he put Zach Jones back in there, stuck with him, and Jones 100% rewarded him for his loyalty.
I love his game too. At different times, you've seen, like, he plays with some gumption, you know, and I love when you got players that'll do that. And here's the thing with, I know you talked about Ruedel and you know him well, Brian, but watching him as well over the last number of years and really his career in Pittsburgh, he, for Ranger fans, he is like the most no maintenance.
That's
guy.
Exactly what Brian said. That is so funny.
Like, you're talking about a guy, to be honest with you, like, so Chad Ruedel, he'll have some games where you're like, wow, he was a really strong game. You know what he is? He's an offensive lineman in football. When you don't talk about him, they're doing their job, right? When you talk about him, it's like, oh, we're getting sacked. We're not getting any protection, right?
Yeah.
Like, Chad Ruedel, you're not going to talk about him a ton, but I'll tell you this much, no matter how old is he now, Brian? You guys know how old
is he?
Yeah, he's got to be, what, 34 years old, right?
Yeah.
If I had a guess.
Definitely
in the
30s.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever it is.
My kids are.
The way that.
Right. He's 33.
There is a whole team of Brian Boyle's kids. So there's a lot to keep track of. But okay, so he's 30. So he's 33 years old. And, you know, my point of this is the way he takes care of himself, and he's always ready. Like, I've seen this guy not play for 25 games, come back, solid performance. You want him to play 8 minutes? He can play eight. You want him to play 18? He can play 18. Does everything pretty well. This guy can play in this league for a number of years still, because he's low maintenance. You know exactly what you're going to get, and there's predictability, and coaches love that. So my point of bringing that up is, you know, Lavi wants to see Zach Jones a little bit more, wants to see maybe Braden Schneider put in certain situations or maybe move some other pieces around. You don't have to worry about getting Chad Ruedel going. This is what he does. Like, he is a pro. And I thought it was a phenomenal pickup. And if they need to lean on that, he might not be in the playoffs, playing the playoffs. But if you need him, you'll be just fine and he'll be there for you. You don't have to worry about him at all.
I can't believe you used the exact same term that Brian did like a week ago when we first spoke about him. That's so funny.
He really is just the greatest, like a great soldier, great guy in the room. Doesn't like, obviously he's driven. You can't fake being a professional hockey player that long, being taken out every single training camp. So is he going, is he the eighth guy? Is he the seventh guy? And then he's the sixth guy because he just doesn't say a word. And he plays his way into the top six. Now it's a little different. But he is insurance. He's depth. And you put him in and no one's going to worry. you can trust him. And if you
could I'd sign that guy if I was able, I'd sign that guy for, you can't sign this long of a deal. I'd sign him for freaking 10 years, league minimum. Be like, let's go, bud. Like he, you know exactly what you're getting. But anyways,
you know who needs that stability too? I'm not trading him again, but like who teams that have struggled this year with all this firepower, but he's won a cup. He plays a certain way. If like, imagine the Devils had him this year, like we already talked about the Devils and a goalie. He would just settle everything in. You know, the Rangers are in a great spot with their defensemen they add because look what happened. It's almost like the foresight on Drury was very smart. He knows what he's doing. He added depth in the D, and it's a great pickup. And he's a great guy, just a fantastic human, a great teammate. I hope he gets to play and do really well. I know he'll do well if he gets his chance. So, I mean, this is a tough test for him. I love tough tests before playoffs. Not, you know, maybe they're going to have a few days between their last game and when the playoffs start. But I love that they're in this right now and they can kind of, you push yourself to a certain limit, you see where kind of the chips fall and you can go from there before. So you don't get surprised when you get into round one.
And saving the best for last, we've done a lot of Matt Rempe talk on this show, understandably so, but it looks like he could be back in the Rangers lineup tonight in Boston after completing his 4-game suspension for a high-elbowed hit on Jonas Siegenthaler. I give the kid a lot of credit at the way he handled his line of questioning yesterday, the things that he said. I thought he said a lot of the right things, and he was being completely honest and genuine in his assessment of what went down. And from his point of view, he apologized twice, owned up to the mistake, said he was going to learn from it. He came right out and said that he honestly didn't even think he made contact with Siegenthaler as he was bracing himself to hit into the boards, which I do believe if you watch it, it looks like he is going straight into the boards. But he acknowledged that he needs to keep learning and learning how to control his body. And it's not going to be an overnight thing for someone who's 6'8" and is still learning how to control their body on skates. But I thought that he had a really good head on his shoulders about it. One of the interesting things that came out of it was, you know, he was asked why he didn't fight McDermott in the first period when he first challenged him, clearly for the Bastion hit a few games beforehand. He said, I had my instructions. I had my instructions.
Well, now we know. I mean, we knew that, but now we really know.
Yeah. So I appreciated the way that he handled it. It's not an easy situation for a 21-year-old kid to be in, getting all this attention and the conundrum. You know, just so much to handle and take on in his first 10 games in the NHL. But I am curious to hear Rupp's analysis of the suspension and just what you made of George Parros kind of throwing the book at Matt Rempe a little bit there.
Yeah, it was more than I thought it was going to be. Where do I go with this? I want to be respectful in the way I say this, because I know that head injuries are a major thing in sports. Okay. And so I want to be cognizant of like showing respect to that, but I've said this numerous times. I've asked questions about it. And I don't think in this situation that Siegenthaler should have any kind of, this wasn't as bad as we've seen it, but everybody wants to get rid of these headshots, and no matter intentional or not, and this one was not intentional. I think he thought, just like I've heard him say, he thought he was going to run right into the glass. So he puts his hands up to brace himself. Like that's a very normal movement in that situation when you're missing a hit, but you're missing the hit because the guy doesn't want to, and doesn't maybe know how to receive a hit. Right. And that's a problem I feel like in the league now.
He pulled out of it.
It's been like this. When you avoid hits or try to avoid hits, you are putting yourself in a vulnerable spot, whether it's your knee, whether it's your shoulder, whether it's your head. If you learn how to take hits, and I get it, having this, the size of this guy coming and taking a hit, like I get it.
Yeah.
But like, it's, you know, that until you squeeze it on both sides, like we got to get more responsible hitting. I think we have, But until you start having some, are we ever going to see, and I don't think the PA would allow it, are we ever going to see the league or the Department of Player Safety say, hey, player, you know, Brian Boyle, we're going to give you 4 games because your elbow got up. But, you know, Mike Rupp, we're giving you 2 games because you put yourself in a terrible spot, or we're going to fine you.
No, you know what I mean? We're never going to see that.
We'll never. Well,
what are you talking about, Mike?
No, we won't. We won't see it because the Players Association won't allow it.
Right.
No, but if we're really looking
at. You could fine them, though.
If we're really looking at player safety, and I'm not saying again on the Seagan with all their ones, I think that's a pretty normal play that he does there.
He got the line, you know, dumped it in.
Yeah, he dumped it in, gained the line, dumped
spun
it.
Spun out. Or tried to back up.
And he pulled out. And Rempe actually said, when he was fielding questions, he said, you know, I've learned that, you know, if you see a guy trying to pull out, you know, that then I need to alter accordingly too. It all happens so, like, I think people lose sight of how fast.
Yeah, it's so fast.
It happens.
No.
That and you expect this guy who's 6'8" to be able to, you know, rear over in that split second. It's just mathematically, scientifically, physically, it's not possible.
I mean, don't we know this? And I think we've seen like crash tests done in cars where like you could sit there and hammer your brakes on. You're still going to skid another 25 feet, right?
Like, inertia, it's not baby. Like,
yeah, like you can't just stop. And you know what I mean? Like, so anyways, my whole point in all that though, is I still think that there's an onus that needs to be put on the players that are trying to avoid hits. And that's how this one, I think, went sour. And I think he should have been suspended. I probably thought 2 games. So he gets 4, whatever, it sends the message. And I like the fact, all those things you mentioned, he said the right things. And I think that the team has come out and said that they're working with them. They don't want them to be suspended. That's a heavy first suspension, though. That is a heavy handed
for a first time offender.
First time. Yeah. But
he
it's
really
also
isn't.
When you're taking,
he really
when
you're isn't a first time offender, though, if you think about
when
it,
when you're taking the league, when you're taking the league by storm because of the physical play and the nature that we're in right now, you kind of saw it coming a little bit, right? Like, we can kind of see it coming. So, hey, we'll see if he makes the adjustments. I love what he brings to the table. If I'm very intrigued, because this is a deep team that got better at the deadline, added some more depth to the group. I think Lavi has a weapon, and I don't mean just from the physical side of it. He has a tool that nobody else has. And if he can find a way to just be effective forechecking, that's all where it's at. Energy, provide energy. You don't have to fight anymore. I don't care if he fights again the rest of the season. Actually, I probably don't want him to, you know, that's all part of the allure too, right? You're going to be playing the Devils here. I'll be at that game. I'm going to that game because I want to see what's going to happen here.
I mean, I think everybody's going to be tuning into that game. It's going to be
what is that? The fourth?
They're going to scratch him.
Is that the fourth?
No
game
way. Whatever. Stop. So,
but here's
the
thing.
Something like that. Early.
April. Here's the thing. I would assume at some point here, just from seeing the kid, I don't know him at all. He'll answer that bell. He's going to answer that bell. Do it on your own terms, man. You know what you do in this game? You go in that game. Curtis McDermott's going to be chasing you around the ice.
Yep.
Let's give the Rangers a couple power plays here and see where it goes. You know what I mean? Like, use this. You don't have to do anything. He's got everyone's attention. Now is the fun part. Just pick and choose what you want to do, when you want to do it. There's no need to go out there and accept all comers. Like, that's a dumb approach. And I think he's done a great job of not doing that. So, that's going to be I'm just down the stretch here. That's one thing. And I'll say this. I've loved this Rangers team for a number of years now. If I had one negative, this team over the number of years, at times gets sleepy. I find them to be a sleepy team at times where they need a spark. They need energy. Sometimes that's Jacob Trouba with the big hit, or Jacob Trouba throwing his helmet on the ice against the Blackhawks and changing the season. But it can't always be on the same guy. And when you add another player like that, the fact that when the puck goes in deep and you see Big 73 skating and I hear the Garden roar, I hear it through my TV start to build, that's something no one else. Show me another team in the league that has a player that can bring everybody to their feet. Use it. And
chaos
if they,
too. He is chaos.
Chaos. And if he can, my point is, I want to see him in the lineup every playoff game. And you're going to have this stretch of games now where I think it's really important for him to show that he can tailor this, not take penalties, play hard, be in your face. If he does, this is a huge weapon for the Rangers. If not, I think they'll be missing that if he's not playing in the playoffs.
He's playing game one, two, three for sure. See how it goes after that. I think he's in. I think I want to clarify one thing because I think this is what Roper was saying. Are you talking about the person who's getting hit, the onus? Like when you're forechecking a defenseman and he spins and you still clip him and he goes face first into the glass? Yeah, okay. They should get fined for that. Go get your stitches and you should get fined.
Yeah, yeah.
Because no, you know I mean. I'm coming. I'm not going to stop.
But can you imagine one day, and I don't see it happening either.
No way. Fine for being an idiot. You knew he was
coming. Can you imagine?
Putting yourself at risk.
Well, so I'm not talking Siegenthaler either. I'm not saying Siegenthaler.
No, not Siegenthaler. That's not the play that we're talking about. But how many plays you see a defenseman, he sees a guy coming to hit him, and he turns his back because you can't hit me like this.
Yeah, the rules will protect me.
And then your face hits the glass, and you're on the ice. Oh, what, you know, this guy should be, no, you're an idiot. You know what I mean? And until you, if you ever say to those guys, you're fined, or hey, you know what, that guy's getting suspended 3 games because it was an overly egregious hit, but you're getting fined, or sorry, you're getting suspended a game because that's not the game. You know what I mean? You got to take responsibility too. Never happen. If it does, I think you squeeze this and we get less of these types of plays.
Well, you got to absorb a hit.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah, yeah.
Take the hit.
It's part of learning. I remember Vitali Kravtsov used to get crunched into the boards nonstop during that start to the season where he had so many injuries, but I just remember him. He didn't know how to take a hit. That was like a big thing. And I remember we tried to talk to him about it, but it's definitely, you know, a thing, you know, that should be taught, should be focused on more because it, you know, it's safety. The whole thing is in the name of safety. I don't know about fines, but I'm in agreement that, you know, the onus is also on the player who's absorbing the hit to take it the right way. And that's something that you learn with reps in the league, I'm sure.
Yeah, head 100%. On a swivel. Head on a swivel.
Head on a swivel.
All right, Rupper. Thanks, man, for joining us.
No problem, man. I appreciate you guys, fun hopping on here. And, well, I'm sure we'll chat down the stretch here.
Yeah, I'll see you.
Have a good little playoff run.
We'll see you next week. Are you at the you at work next week?
All week, man. All week. See you there.
Awesome. In the office.
Yes.
You can catch Mike Rupp on NHL Network and Sportsnet Pittsburgh.
Woohoo!
You wear a lot of hats, Rupper.
Hey.
And you got a lot of jerseys. Look at all those jerseys.
No, there they are. There they are.
Oh, boy.
All right, guys. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks buddy.
If you're asking me if we want to win the game tomorrow, if that's what you're asking me, we sure do. And then if we go to the next day, if you're asking me if we want to win that game, we sure do. And if that leads to us being first overall, then that's the way it played out. We don't talk about being first overall. We haven't mentioned it. You know, we talk about winning games and collecting points. And then I love the comments when it says, you know, you don't want to be there because of this or whatever. And like, all right, well, let's lose some then. Let's, you know, tomorrow, let's take this one off. We'll just leave these points behind to stay clear of that mark.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, here's a little boiling point. Not that upset, but we're going to get into the topic of the Philadelphia Flyers, John Tortorella, and scratching his captain, Sean Couturier. Obviously, it's headline news because he named him captain a little over a month ago. What I don't get is why he gets attacked from all angles for doing it. There's obviously a reason he's doing it. It's the NHL, okay? And if you get embarrassed, yeah, that sucks, and that's not always ideal. And if it's your leader that you just named your leader, I don't 100% understand it, but they went out, won the game. there's obviously a certain behavior that was going through the team that he didn't like. So he had to send a message. So people, if you think you can coach better than Torts, you're wrong. If you don't like the way he coaches, it doesn't matter. You know, he's not your coach. I get that it's kind of polarizing and he's very staunch in his beliefs, but that's why he's had success. So it's interesting. You can talk about it, but people going after certain people, it's just, it drives me nuts. And I think Couturier down the stretch where they're really going to need him in Philly to maybe make this surprise playoff run or get in anyway, they're going to have him and he's going to be ready to go. He's gone through a lot. He's had a lot of injuries. There are down points. There are lulls. I don't like necessarily embarrassing guys. Maybe that's the problem, but maybe sometimes you have to. Don't think it brings Torts joy. Pretty much understand you're not an expert. I mean, I think John Tortorella's forgotten more about hockey than anyone who's complaining about this has ever known. So that's it. Not really too upset. Trying to be more positive. It's Lent. Trying to bring peace. So many kids running around with bronchitis and conjunctivitis and all the itis. So enjoy the games. That's it for Boring.
Playing at the Garden, I feel like that's kind of like a bucket list thing. So now I just try to enjoy the moment and make the best out of it.
All right, that seals the deal on episode 149 of Up in the Blue Seats, our Rangers podcast from the New York Post.
A little bit of an accent there.
Was it?
Yeah, a little bit. I kind of liked it.
Oh, no. I've been working on my non-regional diction.
For TV?
Yes. I'm just trying to really get
the big TV star, Brian.
Yeah. Okay. Give me your first star. You're giving out stars of the week here. What was your first star?
I'm gonna go with Erik Gustafsson. I think that when he filled in for Adam Fox earlier in the season alongside Ryan Lindgren, he was great. And now he's back filling in for Ryan Lindgren alongside Adam Fox. Always a tough role to step into considering how long those two have played together. And I think he always does a pretty good job. So he's been an important guy for this Rangers team this season.
Yeah, and I think he leads the team in intermission interviews.
Does he?
I mean, he's in there all the time. We'll give you Gustafsson.
Yeah.
Cool. That's great. I got Wennberg getting his first bingo in his 700th game.
Woohoo.
On the power play.
Yep.
PP2. Second. Yeah, you don't see that second unit out with that much time left.
It's a rarity.
Won a draw. I went to the net. Rebound goal. It didn't look like anything was getting by Hellebuck. Mm-hmm. So that was a nice goal. Got a nice ovation. So yeah, Alex Wennberg, number two. And then for the third star, our joint star, gonna go with the backbone.
Igor Shesterkin.
Yeah, he's back.
All the way back. You should see him in practice. The mood, the vibe, it's all the way back up. He's messing around, just tripping guys, shoving Matt Rempe out of the way when he's trying to screen him.
Okay, I'm fine with that because he's a young, the first-year guy. You can't make him feel welcome, but totally get in the net and save the puck. Okay. Your goal. You got all this gear on. But
it's good
back,
stuff. That's what you want. That's what you want from Igor, though. When Igor is feeling
light. I would say that to Hank.
Yeah.
Like, get out of here, Hank. Quit complaining, Hank.
Go back in there. That's like everybody's talking about that video of Igor on the against the boards with his son pointing at him.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody says he's saying,
that
get
was
back,
awesome.
Get back in the net, Igor. Yeah. Since then,
he's been
on the top of his game.
Yeah.
Since then.
Like, you're
embarrassing. You always have your kids to put you in place, right, Brian?
Embarrassing. Yeah, actually.
Yes. Brian knows.
Like when I got scratched in Pittsburgh, and the night before I got scratched, Declan was like, you're minus one. Yeah, it was. That was not a good game from you, Dad. No, it was not. And the next game,
scratched.
Called him at like 6:40. I was in the gym. Everyone was warming up. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm not playing. They told me I'm not playing. He goes, oh. I knew that minus was going to hurt us, Dad. Okay, buddy. Go do your homework.
So good.
That.
All good.
Well, that was a fun one. Thanks again to Rupper for joining us. Thank you for producing the show, Jake Brown. Jake Brown and I got to hang out on Tuesday night. That was fun. Finally got to meet in person. So appreciate all you do, Jake Brown, and you, Molly. Thank you for all your help. No, we're going to do this part. Subscribe. Subscribe to Up in the Blue Seats.
This all right?
It's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or wherever you get your pods. Subscribe to the New York Post Sports YouTube and watch us there. Give us a thumbs up below and comment how you're feeling about the Rangers right now. Thanks for listening and watching, folks. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.